there's a big amen there, Stu. I think the only thing left was just a mic drop, and that would have been pretty much perfect on that one there. Yeah, if it takes me going to the hospital to see you get on fire for God, I'll gladly do it.
No.
I don't think we need to do it again, though. All right, so what's been going on in our lives, and I speak of myself and Sue and our family here for the last year, let's just say this year, been a lot of stuff going on. You know, this year my dad passed away. One of the things, one of the many things Dad admonished me on is to get certain things in our lives under control and to bring things under subjection, because we lived way too many years and for too long indulging our flesh and really not serving the Lord, serving ourselves. It's just the reality of it. So we sought to make those changes and establish new guidelines for ourselves. And the Lord has greatly honored that and has seen that commitment and has blessed it. And one of the things is, you know, getting this gluttony under control and the weight loss, and the Lord's blessed it. The other thing is, for me, you know, is dealing with some financial things. You can have physical gluttony of what you eat. You can have financial gluttony. It's all, you know, satisfying the flesh. So just recently, I mean, just in the last 2 weeks, I made a real effort to look at really where things were and to put things in place to address it. And then just this last week, I believe the Lord gave me a vision of how to really aggressively move forward with the ministry website and how to really engage in a meaningful way, in a profitable way, the content that we have for the world or for those that would hear it and be able to find it and use it in a much better way than we have done in the past. And frankly, looking at what we've been working with, it's been a little overwhelming for me to look at it and say, how do we fix this? And, you know, it was coming to a place of really being willing to commit to fix it and then seeking the Lord about how to fix it and being willing to be the guy to go fix it. I haven't wanted to do that. I've wanted to push that off on someone else and blame other people for it being the way it is, and that's really nonsense. And the Lord was not going to allow me to get away with it. So we see all these things turning in the right direction, turning in the direction that would be profitable to the Lord and his ministry and his kingdom, and profitable to us in our walk with the Lord. And then we have the service Wednesday night, which I talked to Steve a little bit on Thursday. And it's Thursday night I find myself on my knees as I wrote in that letter. And by the way, Steve, as far as help mine unbelief, message received, my friend, thank you. I don't want to be in a place of don't know if I'm dropping off. I'm still there. If there's a gap, you guys can hear the recording. So anyway, message received, Steve. I don't want to settle for God help mine unbelief. I want to not be there. So I choose to believe. And I chose to believe as I was laying in that bed. And it was funny, at some point I remember saying to Sue, I'll be interested to see what kind of miracle God's going to work. I don't remember, know if you remember me saying that or not. But I remember, if I didn't say it, I thought it, I was on some good drugs. To be truthful with you, they had me on some good stuff. But I remember if I didn't say it, I thought it, Lord, I'm going to be eager to see what miracle you work here. Because that was the only way that this was going to get fixed or resolved. It had to be a miracle of God. And don't drop my voice. I will do that. Thank you, Scott. And God did work a miracle. I remember when they came and said, we're taking you up to OR in 20 minutes. I said, hold. We have not decided that is what we're doing yet. And they had pretty much predetermined, but I had not given consent to such things. And I know Brother Steve prayed for me early that morning that I would be fully healed and delivered. And I received that, and I believe that. And I walk in that. And I trust God for that. And all the other stuff, it's amazing. I remember something Brother Paul preached years ago. I still remember him standing up. I think we were in Angie's little room when he preached it. And he preached the sermon about the three buttons that the devil likes to bang on. See, the devil likes to hit you in relationships, finances, and health. My sensitive areas are in the finances and health. That's my weakness, or one of them, I suppose. So that's where exactly the enemy hit. To zero success, mind you. Because God's bigger than that. God's bigger than what the enemy would do. God's more powerful than that. You know, God's word is so sure and so complete, and it covers every contingency that is known to mankind, because there is nothing new under the sun. And if you seek his word, there is the answer, there is the deliverance, there is the hope. There's everything you need. There is absolutely no space for unbelief if you simply believe God. And it's 1,000% a choice. And we, those that have been part of this ministry for any length of time know this. Gosh, how long did Dad, Brother Davey, talk about a man does what a man wants to do? And it works for a woman too. If you want to believe God, believe God. But if you say you just can't do it, it doesn't fly. It's not gonna hold any water. It doesn't work. There's no circumstance or situation that surpasses the mighty hand of God. Period. I want to go this morning, because we were talking about faith and believing God. I want to go this morning to Hebrews chapter 11. Not Habakkuk, Rick, Hebrews. Okay, we're going to start with verse 1. I got plenty of time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By what? Faith. Now we're talking to Jews here, and we're talking about those in the Old Testament. So those that would say that there was ever salvation or righteousness by the law have to throw that thinking out the door, because it has always been by faith in God that you obtain righteousness. And it's not your righteousness, it's God's righteousness. And it's by faith. Okay, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How was it that he obtained righteous? By faith. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. How do you please God? By faith. By faith. You want to please God? Believe him. That's going to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look at that. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Do you believe God that if you diligently seek him, he's going to reward you? Because if you believe that, then guess what? You're going to do that. If you say you believe that and don't do it, then you deceive yourself and you do not believe God and you do not believe his word. You can't have it both ways. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area where you sort of believe and you sort of don't believe, or I'll believe some of the things and not the other. No, if you don't believe all of it, then you don't believe. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by what? Faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. So here's a guy, left everything, left his inheritance that was rightfully his, moved out to a place he didn't know where he was going. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God, and he did it. The proof of believing God is going to be obedience. It's not that you obey to prove your belief. It's just going to be a naturally occurring substance in your life. If you believe God, then you're going to walk in the things of God. If you say you believe God and do not walk in the things of God, then you have to check yourself. Do you believe? And if you're honest, you're going to come back with a conclusion that no, you don't believe. And that's a good place to start. Because if you can start there, God will work with that. God will work with that. Because that's humility. And God gives grace to the humble, right? But what's he do to the prideful? He resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. So which path are you going to take? You're going to take the path of pride and continue to lie to yourself and try and deceive others that you believe God, yet where's the proof of it? Or are you going to humble yourself and say, Lord, I don't believe you. I want to. I want to get past this. And then you're going to have to believe. You're going to have to choose to believe. And just like Brother Steve was saying, you may have to get angry and you may have to get animated and you may have to actually fight your way out of that unbelief and choose to believe and beat down and cast off every high thing and every imagination that would tell you otherwise. And choose God and choose God and choose God and choose faith and choose belief. Over and over and over and over until the enemy finally gets the point. And then you keep choosing God and keep choosing God and keep choosing God. You cannot escape the responsibility of faith. What a great statement Brother Steve made today. That responsibility is ever with you. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Pardon me. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She believed God. in an impossible, ain't ever going to happen in the natural situation, she believed God, and guess what happened? She had a child. See, the only limiting factor to God in your life is you. You want to see the miracles of God in your life? You want to see deliverance in your life? You want to see freedom and health and a move of the Lord in your life? The only limiting factor is you. It's not God. Believe God. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They embraced the promise of Jesus and of God redeeming his people. They embraced that promise and believed. How much more shall we look back at what God has already accomplished? The evidence of the proof of the fulfillment of those promises we have before us every day. We don't have to embrace that which we haven't seen, in a sense, because we know Jesus came. We know he died. We know he rose again. We have the evidence of it, evidently set before us. Believe God. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. So God promised that all nations would be blessed through Isaac. And then God tells Abraham to go sacrifice your only son. And what's Abraham do? Argue with God? No, he does not. He packs the gear, takes his son up, and does what? Begins the sacrifice. And as he's plunging the knife down, the angel of the Lord stops him. And he says, now I know. Now I know. It's a beautiful scripture. And there was a ram. A sacrifice for the sacrifice. It's a beautiful scripture. But Abraham, the faith he had in God at that time, he believed that it had to be that God would raise him from the dead. There was no other option, because it was through Isaac that all nations would be blessed. And therefore, the only way it could work is that if he sacrificed and killed his son, that God would have to raise him from the dead. There was no other way. And God saw that. And that faith, that belief, that trust in God was imputed unto Abraham for righteousness, and he counted unto him for righteousness. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say, what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also in Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through what? Faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What do you want in your life? When you look at the life of those of faith, it is one that the world and, frankly, the church utterly despises and rejects. What do you want? What do you seek? Do you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Or do you seek the things of this world? Are you going to be the opposite of Moses when he opted for the things of God versus the things of Egypt? Are you going to rather seek the things of Egypt? I go on to just the first part of 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, that's unbelief, by the way, which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's that responsibility of faith. And patience isn't waiting for something to happen. Patience is the stern determination for a thing to be accomplished. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When you look at your life, and you look at the things in your life, and you see the challenges, and everybody has challenges in their life, everybody has areas that they find is a struggle, that they find is hard, that they find is one thing or another. Let me tell you, there is nothing that is in your life that is bigger than Jesus. I don't care what it is. And I can tell you with a surety that God does not want you ill, that he does not want you infirm, that he does not want you oppressed by demonic oppression. He doesn't want any of that for you. He wants you delivered, he wants you healed, and he wants you operating in the absolute fullness of all the good things he has for you. He will not impose that on you, however. You have to choose it. You have to choose it. And when you choose it, Let me tell you what's going to happen. When you choose it, you become a threat to the enemy. You become a very serious threat to the enemy. Because there is nothing like a believer of Jesus Christ operating in faith to give the enemy a bad day. And he will do whatever he can to derail you, to discourage you, to get you thinking it's not worth it. It is worth it. I had someone say to me one time, "You're not worth this crap." And I modified it a little bit. And it was someone that I was having a relationship with. It was not of God. But they said to me, "You're not worth this crap." That was a pretty hard thing to hear. But here's the thing to consider. When you accept Jesus Christ, and then you continue to walk in unbelief, it's exactly what you're saying to him. You're not worth this crap. Jesus is absolutely worth it. Salvation is absolutely worth it. Victory is absolutely worth it. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that talk about how no weapon formed against you will prosper, etc. And there are people that are quantified in those scriptures. So it's not just everybody. And you need to be careful as you try and apply those things. But it doesn't change the fact that God looks after his kids. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. But you know what? I don't care. Because in Jesus, he's got it handled. And I can trust that. And I will trust that. If you're struggling, stop. Because the struggle is only with you. As Brother Steve was saying, standing on a precipice, just take the step. Choose to believe God. And then watch him start working. Yeah, the enemy isn't going to like it, but so what? You're going to be in a position to kick him right in the teeth. And how much better a situation to be in? Under his thumb, suffering, or in the armor of God, fully equipped to kick him right in the teeth. I'll take plan B, thank you. That is, armor of God, kick him in the teeth plan. I like that plan. He's given us power to tread over serpents and scorpions, has he not? We know God's not a respecter of persons, amen? We see, as Brother Steve was talking about, people that were outside the camp, yet when they believed God, they became part of God's plan. So that means there is room for you. Guess what? Newsflash. Deet, 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 deet. There is no reason to stay defeated. Choose God. Choose God. That's it for us this morning. Stay tuned for Texas coming up in about 4 minutes or so. Yeah, that's it. 4 minutes or so. Again, thank you all for listening. And thank you for your prayers and continued prayers for Sue and I. And we are looking forward to seeing the fulfillment of the miracle of God in our lives. And pray for you too, that God finish the miracles in your lives.